Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Live Your Raw Life podcast. Welcome to the platform where the intention is to help you live your rich, authentically aligned, wholesome life. I'm your host, Rachel Ann Watkins. Together, let's raise our vibrations and awareness in order for you to live the raw life that was meant for you. Hello, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the Live Your Raw Life podcast. Today, I am joined by this amazing man who I call my husband. He is back on the show. Today, I have Isaac joining me to talk about his spiritual journey and how it has contributed to the family. So, welcome back to the show, Isaac.
Very happy to be here, Rachel. It's always fun. This is my third podcast with you. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Thanks. Now, in 2016, I decided that I needed the teachings of my yoga teacher with me while I was practicing yoga with any other instructor. I missed my yoga teacher from Minnesota, and I had Karin on the podcast back earlier this spring, and it was such a beautiful conversation. Karin Carlson, I would highly recommend checking out that episode. And it was also part of this big growth period in my life, I would say. Like, I grew on a very spiritual level, probably a little bit of a maturity level, maybe. I don't know. There was just a lot happening, and it was kind of like this big, huge launching point that has really led me down this very spiritual journey. And at the same time, you came up to me and said, I think I'm going to go to Florida and do ayahuasca. And I was like, you should go do that. And I joke that I went through some of my healing through yoga, and you went through some of your healing through psychedelics, which I think is very fitting for each one of us. Would you agree with that?
100%. I think it goes back to our first podcast together with the Johnsons, yeah. Nate and Caroline. And I think I brought it up then. My spiritual journey is always fueled by drugs and alcohol, man.
Totally.
I'm like the rock star that can't sing or play guitar or any sort of musical instrument. I can listen to it real hard, though.
Oh my gosh, yes. That's right. We did chat about that, and because we talked about how we really needed to enter into the COVID life separately, and we grew in our own ways. That's right. I'd like to ask some questions today in regards to your experience and maybe where it's kind of allowed you to grow and where it's taken you, because it's been about 4 or 5 years ago now that you went and did that. So how were you first introduced to ayahuasca?
The first, I don't know if it was someone, I don't know when, like, the first, you know, like, oh, did I read something? Was it an article? Was it a podcast? I mean, I know, like, Joe Rogan has talked about it. What I remember is I knew about it a little bit. And then a friend of mine who lived in Florida at the time had gone to a ayahuasca ceremony. And I think he posted something about it on Facebook, how healing it was. And I was very curious. And I messaged him or texted him or maybe even called him. I messaged him and he called me immediately. And he said, Isaac, it was the best experience ever. And he told me all about his first one or two experiences. And he then told me that if I was asking about it, then she was calling to me, meaning Mother Aya. So that was like, I was kind of blown away with that, because when you hear that, when you talk about ayahuasca with people that have done ayahuasca, they go, oh yeah, it was calling. And the reason I was asking about it, or the reason I was curious about it, didn't matter. But once it was, it's you're hooked. Before you even try it, she was there telling you that you needed her. That was so. That's how I was introduced. He said, "There's a church down here in Florida, that has these ceremonies. They were doing. They were still in some legal turmoil with getting their, I don't know if you call it accreditation to be a church. They have now. They are an actual ayahuasca church, so they have religious freedoms, and." They were working out of a small little house when he went for his first ceremony, and then he had gone multiple times after that, and they moved to a new property that had some nice rainforest attached to it just outside of Orlando, and it just sounded amazing. So I was all in, and he was said, like, hey, I'll go. I'll go again. That's how much he was growing from it and changing was he's like he kept on going back. I mean, he was in his backyard, but the more important part, he was healing constantly. He's always growing and changing as a person. So it sounded amazing, and I had to do it.
I remember that. Thank you for sharing that. That was, it was one of those things I thought about it, and I was like, yeah, it makes total sense. And I was so happy that you were going to do something to help yourself. And I love that it was through very unconventional ways, because I think that's just how we are.
Totally.
Totally. So I'm going to just ask if you could share, when you came home from that trip, I mean, we had some beautiful conversations while you were in Florida. You called and we were crying, and it was just so beautiful, the messages that you received and the stories you told me and the experiences that you shared with me. Could you share a little bit with our listeners, maybe a little bit like where you were in your mind, why you felt you needed to go, and some of the experiences and the story, like the lesson, what you saw in those moments? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I knew I needed to go when I knew that I needed to go. And I knew it was right. Just like, all right, I have to go do this. And I had done some.
Was there like one, like, were there some things where you're like, I just need to write this in my life somewhere? You know what I mean? Or was it just this? It was just that. It was just a message. Like, you need to have this experience.
I think I felt that at that time, we had just moved to Colorado very recently, right?
Yeah, we moved here in 2014.
So we were just new to Colorado. You were on this great growth ride. Started your really kind of dug into your growth ride, and I just knew it was time for me. Like, I knew something needed to change. With I was stuck. I mean, I've always dealt with depression and anxiety and things like that, and sometimes it was like crippling. And I just knew, like, after hearing Michael's story about how it changed him and what he experienced, I knew that, like, man, I need to know, like, the whys. Like, why do I sometimes feel like this lingering hurt, or why do I feel this anxiety about a situation like this? Like, you know, your pinch points, or whatever you want to call them, they're all rooted into something. And this was a way to, you know, it was explained to me as, you know, you can get like 2 years of therapy in 24 hours. So that was kind of how I knew. Like, I just knew I was ready for it. Something profound and make a big leap in life.
So could you share a little bit about your experience? Like, you know, I've watched so many documentaries because I'm curious to the extent of like wanting to know what my husband was getting involved in, and but not curious enough that like she's not calling me for sure. Not at least not right now. I'm not throwing it out the window, but it's definitely not something that is of interest to me. But I loved listening to your stories when you were sharing like what you were discovering. So could you talk a little bit about like the process? What happened when you got there? How did it taste? Like, and then, you know, maybe a little bit about a couple things that you discovered through the journey of ayahuasca.
Absolutely. So it's a very, the setting was very, very peaceful. Right when you walk in, it's real peaceful. Chris, the gentleman that runs the, a medicine man, a shaman, really, really good human, well, and really, he's in tune. He picked that up right away. And it's a, it's, you know, you're not going to Coachella, you're not going to, what the hell's that thing in the desert that people go to?
I don't know. Why, how would I know? Burning Man.
Burning Man. It's not that, where it's just this, it's a very ceremonial experience. I mean, it's coming from 5,000 years of tribal exploration. This is something from plants that's been being used for millennia. So you have to take it very serious. This isn't like, for me, and everybody that was there at this ceremony, there was probably 20 of us, this wasn't a, oh, I'm going to go and do drugs. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to go and trip balls, man. It was a, we all were there for some sort of healing. So that was kind of the vibe. That was really, it was sombering at first. It was a little bit, I was very nervous because it was very quiet and whatever. And so you get there and you kind of wait.
So once you're all checked in, your first meeting is with a gentleman that kind of got your mental, like it was your check-in. Like, where are you at? Why are you here? What's going on? And for me, I'm always very reserved in those meetings at first, and he was great at asking the right questions and kind of broke me down pretty quickly, and then I'm bawling, and I'm like, this is what I want to work on, this is my little bit about my past, and he's like, all right, cool, then let's talk about your, like, what your intention's going to be, because you have to set an intention in this situation so that you're focused on one thing or one path. And I really struggled with what my intention was going to be. And I think I just kind of ended up with my intention being, show me what I need to see. Because I had so many things that I couldn't decide. Probably because I'm a dude with ADD.
I was going to say, that sounds about right. Oh my gosh, seriously. Yeah, make a decision, Isaac. What do you want for dinner? Where should we go? Right. Oh, shoot. So that sounds actually really so smart, and just that they make you do that and go through that process, you know, and I love, that's another thing that I was really glad about when I heard more about the church that you were going to do this, was that it wasn't just like a rager. You were going for a very specific reason.
I mean, it's called ceremony.
Yeah, exactly. And so that there's a reason there, and I love that. So can you tell us a little bit about what you saw? By the way, before you do that, this is where you met Josiah, who was on the podcast. And that has evolved into such a beautiful relationship. We love having him in our family. But could you tell us a little bit about what you saw, like, in through that journey?
So Josiah was there as a facilitator. So facilitators are there. They take a small dose to help them guide you more carefully. I don't think he was there the first night. I don't remember. So you, first night ceremony, you have a mattress and you kind of little thin little roll, like a bed roll, and you lay it out. We're all under the stars. Some of us were under like a covered little deck thing, but you're outside. We do like a fire. There's a big fire. There's some saging going on. There's some tobacco smoke. There's some ceremonial aspects to it where we're, you know, we're saying things, and I can't remember. I mean, this is so long ago now that I don't remember all the like, that's the first time I'm thinking about those details of like the everybody sitting around the campfire in your lawn chair and just getting ready for ceremony. And I believe there was, you know, he always has a guest, and I can't remember who's guest person was. It was a woman who was a healer from, she had just gotten from a huge tour on her journey somewhere in South America. So she was there, and she had some like coca leaves, and she was great. She was a full-on medicine woman. I can't remember her name, but she was wonderful. So I mean, the staff is, there was a lot of staff. There was Chris, Scott, I can't remember her name, like Elena or something. Four or five facilitators. So you're always surrounded by people. So you, when you first take your, the first thing we did was the eye drops.
Oh yeah.
I don't remember what they're called now. Josiah would remember. I always have to ask Josiah what they're called, but it was these eye drops, and you lay down and Chris would walk around and put these drops in your eyes, and it burned, and it was like hellaciously, it felt like hot glass shards being dipped into your eyes, but once the pain went away, you could literally see in the dark. It was amazing. It was supposed to open up like your pituitary gland to really get you ready for your experience. My first dose was pretty small, and I wasn't really feeling anything. Nothing was really happening, which is pretty common your first time around. And you know, Chris walked around and would ask you questions if you're feeling anything, if you feel the medicine. I just said no, and I can't remember again. I wish I remembered what the hell this stuff was, but he blew something at my nose. And it made me vomit instantly. It was like, and it, you felt it go up your nostril through your sinus cavity, and like it shot out the back of your brain and your skull. And that's your one nostril, and you have to do both sides. So then he hits your other side, and it was just awful. And then you start vomiting, and you start purging. And then the medicine really kicks in, and he's really good about, you know, not giving someone some crazy big dose their first round. So it was a small, gentle experience. There was lots of, like, eyes closed. You'd see lots of lights and movie things and whatever, and hear things and visions and nothing really crazy, profound that night, but it felt good. And I was, you know, you do a lot of you do a lot of purging here. You said, and I don't know. I mean, you're just, I don't know. I don't remember the first night being really crazy and profound in any way, but just a little bit. It was like a taste of what was to come more than anything else.
Crazy. I remember when you came home, your eyes were the absolute bluest of blue that I have ever seen. Like, they were like no color I've ever seen your eyes. And now keep in mind, at this point when you had gone, we had been married for 63 years. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. A long time. I mean, it was probably about a dozen years or so. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, your eyes. And then you told me, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. So then the second night you had a bigger dose. And then, well, I'm trying to remember, because I feel like you called me on, you had it during the day, because you called me. And you were like underneath this big, beautiful tree. And I was coming down from one of the local canyons. We had gone up with some friends, the boys and I, to the swimming pool. And you were just sharing some of your awakenings, I guess. And it was really, really beautiful. It was amazing. And you and I have, we've had our, I mean, like in any marriage, every marriage takes work. And you and I are no exception. And we've had to work really hard to get to where we are and convince each other that we truly are each other's best friend.
Mm-hmm. The more you say it, the more you believe it.
I'm laughing because we just talked about this today. It kind of came up in a walk that we were taking. But we've been through some really hard times. And I always want, obviously, what's best for you, because what's best for you is going to just help you and benefit you in so many ways. And there's this fine line as a wife where you don't want to be nagging, but you want to tell this person to do some of these things so that they can be with you for as long as possible. And I say that all the time. There's so many things that we have to do yet together. And so I just want you to be so high up on your level of health and wellness that it expands to everything else. So after your experience, you came home and it kind of, I feel like you might have to chat about this a little bit, Isaac, because I feel like there's like some, not reprogramming, but reintegrating into society after an experience like that. And I definitely noticed that from you. But once that all kind of shook out, we have been in this place where our communication is like top notch, stellar. There are just a lot of things that changed in such a positive way. And I don't think it's all ayahuasca, but I think it was a big contributing factor. How do you feel about all that?
I think that how ayahuasca helped me fix and find, you know, where I was, some of my roots and my causes of some shit. But what's really weird is what I was shown. So the next day, this is where Josiah was my hero. I chose to do a daytime ceremony, and you are outside under the canopy of this jungle, this rainforest, and in Florida of all places, these crazy like low hangy branchy, real big. The branches stick further out from the tree as they are tall, oh, if that makes sense. Oh. So they're real. You know, you to be a branch 6 feet up and then it extends out 25 feet. It was amazing. So this coverage was just gorgeous. You're literally just in this thick of this jungle. And I remember this because it was so crazy. There was all those air plants, it was they're called. Mm-hmm. So I had just bought some. I discovered this back was, you know, this was like when air plants got all big. I discovered them. Like, those are so cool. I ordered some and we kept on killing them. And then all of a sudden I'm in Florida and they're just hanging from trees everywhere. I was like, well, these fucking things are just everywhere. I can't, this sucks. I think I may have brought one home. I don't remember.
You did.
Which I'm sure we killed.
You did.
Yeah. But that experience was for me, because it was a larger dose. I was able to really kind of dial in on a subject of, you know, why I was feeling this pain. And what I was shown in this journey was insane. And it took my breath away. I literally would stop breathing, but I still had my wits about me, right? If I opened my eyes, I would be like, I'd breathe again. And it was so powerful that you didn't want to stop. Oh. You didn't want to go, I'm done. You go, I'm closing my eyes, but I'm going back in. And I would close my eyes, and it would literally be felt. For me, it felt like I was being pulled underwater for just hours, just constantly, constantly going underwater. And I'd hold my breath as long as I possibly could to get the lesson out of it. But I couldn't breathe while I was doing it. So in my mind, so I thought. So I'd open my eyes, and I would catch my breath, and I would be like, "Hey, I'm going back in." And I'd close my eyes, and I would just keep getting pulled down
my hand, like what I felt like was something was pulling. I would close my eyes, and it was something would take my hand and pull me. And but it was pure, like it was just dark, and it was more about. I wasn't seeing things at that point. It was just what was being told to me by I guess Mother Aya at that point. I mean, she was taking me on this journey, and then she brought me to a place that said and said, "Open your eyes." And I got there, and it was weird because I kept on opening my eyes in real life to catch my breath to get there. And then when she was telling me to open my eyes, it wasn't to open my eyes in real life. It was to open my eyes in this journey, in this place. And it took me, I remember it taking a long time to get the courage, because this was my question was what, like, what's the, like, why, like, why do I feel this hurt? Why do I feel this pain all the time? And, she asked me if I was ready, and I'm like, no. Like, I don't know, man. I guess I'm here. But I remember just being there and then being so still, which probably felt, you know, for me in the moment, probably felt like
3 hours.
Yeah, 3 hours, yeah. But it was, you know, 20 seconds. But then I finally had the courage to open my eyes, and it was all I saw was a you think about, like, movies where there's some crazy CGI or the space where, like a sci-fi movie where it's just pure blackness, but the subject is lit up. Like, how is this one person in this space lit up when there's no light anywhere else? That's what I saw, but the subject was a baby, a brand new screaming, crying, kicking baby. And Aya said to me, "You are at your source." She didn't say you're a source. She said, "You are reborn. Mm-hmm. You can let go of all the hurt and considered, like, be reborn." And I just remember, like, just staring at this baby that was me, apparently, and it all just kind of washed over me at that point. I just felt good, and I felt great, and I felt like a lot of weight was pulled off me. And getting out was harder than getting there. I remember that as well. It was the same. It wasn't like, okay, you're good to go. It was, you have to get pulled back out. And that was harder. Getting out was harder. But when I remember, this is where Josiah was my hero, because I remember, like, just opening my eyes and just bawling and trying to talk to, and Josiah had this palm leaf. He was fanning me to keep me cool. And I remember telling him, trying to explain to him what was going on. And he was just like, yeah. Oh, you're doing great, bud. You're doing great. And then, you know, years later, we're having a conversation. And he's like, "I have no idea what you were saying, man." You were not making any sense, but you were healing. And I got out, and I was just, I felt reborn. And then I got up, and which was really crazy is, like, you're supposed to just kind of stay in this place and get through it. And I needed to go out and be in this property, which was just lush and green. There's trails everywhere. It was so pretty. And it was a landscape and a type of nature that I had never experienced. That was my first trip. I'd never been to Florida before. Mm. And here I am in the jungles of the rainforest jungle of Orlando, Florida. And I'm like, I just need to be out. And that's when I called you, because I was out and I was touching all these plants and I was watching the lizards and a freaking giant tortoise walked in front of me. And I was hugging trees and it was just so, so beautiful. I just wanted to share a little more about, like, that experience was the one that really changed me and really kind of set me on the right path. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what your original question was, but I wanted to just kind of share and retell you the story about just kind of where, how it all happened and how, like, what that I guess tipping point or mm-hmm. trigger was.
That was a story I was hoping you would eventually share, because that was my favorite. It was so beautiful when you called and told me, and that's what had us, like, both just sobbing. And it's funny because I was, just as you were saying, I don't remember what your original question was. I was like, I feel like he is answering the question that I asked previous. Like, you're just one question behind me, but that's okay, honey. We'll catch you up.
Typical.
It's usually what happens. I tell her all the time, she'd be like, oh, I'm so proud of you. You're doing so good in your growth and your voodoo life and your all your hippie bullshit. It's so great. And I'm like, I'm just, you know, 5 years behind you. I don't know why you think I'm doing so great. Just learning. I'm learning from you.
It's true. You do say that. So funny. So, first of all, thank you, Isaac. That was a lot. And I appreciate you sharing because it's so important to be vulnerable, especially with the people that you love. And I think, you know, we come from a way of living that's not necessarily the norm. And it's really unfortunate because you have your support system, but your support system can only do with what they know. And the more you know, the more you can help.
Having people you can be vulnerable with is really, I don't think enough people do it. Mm. And I sent a text to a friend today, thanking him for letting me be vulnerable around him when we have our awesome guy seshes and we go on our nature walks and tranch through deep snow and trespass.
That's so great. So, through your whole journey of this, what do you suppose was your biggest takeaway? Like, what do you think you came home with and that has led you, or like maybe changed the direction of the course you were on or kind of helped you on your path?
There are a few takeaways. My taste in music changed a little bit. Oddly enough, I had just been turned on to Alt-J at that time. I think Awesome Wave was the album of choice. And man, that album, knowing that now that those guys do a bunch of psychedelics and that's kind of their jam, is music that's influenced by drug psychedelic journeys. That was the soundtrack of my experience. And I listened to that music hard when I was there. It was beautiful. When I was walking through the rainforest, I remember listening to that album. It was groovy. So that changed. I guess I listen to the music now to more, it's, music has now become more like the soundtrack of what I'm feeling. And I listen to some weird music, so I don't know what any of that shit means. Like, why do I listen to like gangster rap and then listen to heavy metal, and then Sturgill Simpson or Israel Nash. Like, what the hell? I don't know. It's my vibe, I guess. So my music taste definitely changed. Or I guess my taste didn't change because I've always had a very eclectic and strange taste, but it's more of now it's, I recognize it as, this is what I'm feeling and this is what I need to hear. I guess everybody does that, but some people like maybe just blindly listen to music because that's what they've always listened to. I don't know. I don't know. That's a really hard question, actually. The biggest lesson?
Takeaway?
Yeah. That's a really hard question to answer because there were so many small things that happened because you don't go, aha, done. You leave and you're still processing for a really long time. And I mean, I guess you could say you're always, once it's there, you're always processing. You're always, once that door has been opened, it doesn't shut. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to shut. And then, I don't think there's been, it's compounding. Mm-hmm. You pick up a few little lessons here and there. Like, I came home and kind of figured out some of the roots of my, like, my anxiety and my depression. My depression, a lot of it, what I learned from working with Chris and ayahuasca and then Dr. Scott was, I'm an empath. And I was holding on to
other people's pain, and he taught me how to release that pain. And once I started doing that more frequently, now I do it. I don't even know I'm doing it. Like you asked me today, I think in our walk, about a coworker, a colleague of mine that was going through some shit, and you had overheard a conversation about it, and you asked me like, how do you? I don't know what your question was, but something along the lines of how do you let that go? Does that affect you later? And maybe it's now with work. I'm just so busy, and I mean, I'm in charge, or I'm helping with so many projects that it's easy to go from one project to a heartfelt conversation back to another project, into a project easier. But I used to carry that shit with me, like it was a anchor. A big time anchor, and it would just drag me down, probably at my heart, because it just hurt. Other people's hurt me, and I learned how to get through that and work through that, where I recognized it and then released it. So that was probably the biggest takeaway, was how to not hold other people's pain, because I think when you hold other people's pain for too long, it becomes your own pain. And then you start to confuse it. You, like, if someone was going through some trauma and you carry it, you maybe start to attach your own trauma subconsciously. Like, oh, I was hurt really bad by my mom, and I've never dealt with that. So now I'm going to attach that to this person's trauma, and I'm going to carry it as my own, even though I've never, like, face that or thought of it that way or dealt with it that way. And that was my biggest takeaway, I guess, was how to release the shit that I was carrying from other people. And that was huge for me. And I mean, you know, like my depression was terrible, and now I'm pretty good. It still hits, but I'm way better than it's ever been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And that isn't that funny, we did just talk about that today on our walk. I asked, you know, are you able to just release those emotions? Because you are such an easy person to talk to, no matter your own personal emotions. Like, people just talk to you.
Yeah.
They cry with you. They laugh with you. They vent with you. You're just a very easy, like, conduit to get information out of our system. But then I think that's something that people maybe need to consider is, okay, I'm releasing this information, but where is it going? And just to have that awareness of what you then do with it on the other side.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Some of it is now, you know, I'm definitely better at seeing things through a business lens though as well. Where I go, okay, I know how to apply this. I know how to better apply this or move this up the chain of command to get some movement on some personnel issues. Mm-hmm. And I've learned to, instead of, like, I'm not just releasing it, I may be releasing it away from me, but then I'm using it as powerful information to help, you know, guide our company and be a better company and be more, I guess, more thoughtful and, you know, help keep our people healthy.
Totally.
You know, if we can, anything we can do in my industry, I feel like that's really what we are. We're kind of a band of misfits. Mm. You know, we're the weirdest herd out there. We're a bunch of really crazy, fun, eclectic people in this industry. And it's also a lot of hurt that comes with that, I think, with people. So to be able to use that now to help heal people and not, you know, carry it and be like, oh, we need to help this. But no, but this is what real people go through and what people in my industry go through, probably more than others. Maybe, I don't know, maybe not. But I feel like maybe it's because I'm just exposed to it more now with where I'm at. And, you know, I'm just using that for good now more than anything else. I can just recognize it, see it, and find ways to help guide our company to not be the ones that heal people, but just recognize that there's hurt or that there's issues, and know that if we recognize that as a company, and we can let people know that we're safe. It's safe to be human, And you're not going to be reprimanded for crying, or you're not going to be, you know, it's not going to be seen as a weakness. It's seen as, hey, you're just, you feel safe and you're having a hard day, and we're just going to, we're going to lift you up.
Mm-hmm. Seeing people's humanness is a big deal. And to work for somebody that allows your humanness to be seen and heard is rare, but very essential in our opinion. I would think that that's a, mm-hmm. yeah. So how, like, overall, you've done ayahuasca twice now, and the second time around was actually here in Colorado. And I personally have seen a big shift for in you for the positive, for sure. Not that you were like negative or like a POS by any means, but I can tell that your healing has really evolved, and that's the biggest thing that I mean by that. How do you think that it has helped your life moving forward, and how has it helped our family by you having this experience?
That's probably the hardest question. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of parts there. There's a lot of... There's just so much... Because there's just so many pieces to that answer. So I'm going to... I guess I'm going to try and... I'll ramble and try and break it down in my head.
Sweet.
That's a very loaded and heavy question. For me... I don't even remember what your question was now. I was so busy thinking about the answer that... Now I don't even remember.
How do you feel it has improved your life?
Well, I'm just, that's easy. I'm happier. Mm. I guess I don't have to break that down. I'm just happier. I just found that it made me see things. And maybe it was because the most profound experience I had, the first in my first whole weekend, was under the sun. And so maybe somehow it that was so fitting, because I was in the dark. I felt like I was kind of in the dark and hurting. And maybe it was, I just needed to be in the sun more. And maybe my outlook has become, I know I have a much more sunnier disposition, as they say. Like, I am a very easygoing, I've always been that way as a Pisces, but me more so than probably most. I'm very easygoing.
And so, like, ridiculously easygoing.
I'm told, you know, I just make it look so easy, but it's just not, it's probably not that I don't focus on negative anymore. Mm-hmm. Where I used to really focus on negative and it weighed me down. Now I see so much more in the positive in things. Mm-hmm. You are very much that way. And I think you're just, probably because you're so much more organized, that you see positivity through organization, whereas it's like an equation for you. Well, if I do this to get to this and then answer that, then boom, that is happiness. And for me, it's because I'm much more I don't know, artistically thinking about things, or I have a very eclectic and strange brain, that it's the opposite. It's just, I don't know.
It's like a chalkboard with all that crazy ass math problem on it, and then you just have a sun.
Some Good Will Hunting shit?
Yeah, totally.
Who solved this? ayahuasca, I don't know. Yeah, I came out with a much more sunnier disposition, and I see things, and maybe I was helped to see one of my gifts is to, you know, laugh things off, see the positive in things, and then help others see a positive in the situation. And that's probably those two things, you know, just to be like, I have a sunnier disposition, but then I've also been able to grow into a space where I can really help others be less negative and see much more positive things.
Yeah, in fact, we actually talked about that earlier this week on another one of our walks. I said to you how I love sharing like things that maybe bother me or I'm frustrated with or whatever. I'll tell you, but then you tell me the thing that I don't necessarily want to hear, but I need to hear it. And it changes my perspective and it allows me to see the lesson. Because that's one thing that is a little bit harder for me than I think it is for you, is to see the lesson. And that has, I'm getting better because I've been able to start asking the question, why is this happening for me? As opposed to why is this happening to me? But you have this way of like, you say the hard thing and then that person, like I know for me, I'm kind of like, I don't want to hear that. But then as I reflect on it and I sit on that, I think, oh, that's exactly actually what I needed to hear. So I love that about you. How do you think that this experience has helped our family as a unit?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I mean, I don't know. How do you think this experience has helped our family as a unit? Because I don't know how to answer that question. Mm. Because of my aloofness and being so lucky to be just, to feel like I'm along for the ride, but a lot, I mean, but we, you know, we co-drive very well. You know, we're co-captains on this ship that, this ship never turns off, right? Like on, you know, any big ocean freight liner, someone's at the helm, someone's up there, someone's driving that bitch. So between you and I just feel like, I don't know, I must have the easier shift. I don't know. So how do you think that what me coming back changed after a couple of, you know, a handful of ceremonies? Like, how do you feel like I've changed and it's helped the family unit?
I love that you're flipping the question back on the host. Thanks. Actually, in all honesty, this is the very first thing that popped into my mind when you asked, is the way that I see this being of the most benefit for our family is, aside from you being more positive, which is so huge, just with helping you on a personal, like a personal level, but also in with like your work relations and all of that. That's been super huge. But you now are able to be this role model for the kids where, because you, I mean, they know this. They know that you did ayahuasca, don't they?
Yeah.
And they know some of the story. They've heard it, you know, bits and pieces. And they also, because you can be open and honest and vulnerable, our boys now see that, right? They watch that. And so you're modeling this behavior that we hope for them. So I think that that is a big one. And they're seeing you be way more happy. And so when you're not, you know, before when you were depressed, you were so checked out, right? And when anyone checks out, you can feel their energy is just like, you know, reserved and pulled back. And now the kids, because I mean, I can feel the shift in energy since all of this has happened and you've processed it and you've settled into this new outlook on life. But you're so present with us. And I think that that is probably the biggest thing, and present in such a happy way. And I mean, not everything's rainbows and butterflies and roses and stuff, because, you know, we still have teenagers and life and all the things. But you're
11-year-olds that want to know what vodka tastes like. What does vodka taste like? Because this running joke is, oh, if you're going to the store, give me vodka. Ha ha ha, it's a joke, but you're 11 and you're asking, you little fucker.
Precisely my point. But yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, is you're more open and willing to have conversations with me, even though they may be hard. We have them, and our boys see all that, and it's just, it's really great. How do you feel about my response to your question?
You did a really good job. That's what I was going to say. We've definitely, it's, you know, it's not all for me, and it's not obviously all from ayahuasca.
Right.
Right. Like, that was the starting point for me to really, it was my tipping point, my catalyst, my genesis in my new journey of trying to be a better person. And it's hard because you always have to work on it. You mm-hmm. never stop working on it. It doesn't just, oh, I took ayahuasca and I'm healed, or, oh, I, you know, went on a mushroom road trip for 6 weeks and I'm healed, or whatever. That's not how it works. You pick up a big lesson or a bunch of little ones, and you move and you work on them. But for me, that was what started my journey of, you know, of healing and clarity and trying to be a better person. So, yeah, I mean, that was the start of it. And I don't feel like ayahuasca didn't make me a better husband. Ayahuasca didn't make me a better father. Ayahuasca didn't make me a better employee or a better leader. It just turned my eyes a little bit to see things in a different perspective. And then it was up to me to continue working on those lessons and continue working on myself to really be better. And it's fucking hard. It's always hard. It's always hard to keep. It's always hard to get better and grow. But luckily, I found ayahuasca, and it was a kickstart, because, like I said, it was 5 years of therapy and between the two ayahuasca, you know, weekend ceremonies I went to. It was huge. But yes, you did a great job.
Aw, thanks. Do you think you'll do it again?
I have moments where I'm like, where I'm ready. I'm like, oh, yeah, I think I need to. And then I don't. And then something else will happen. Like, Josiah will give me some big dab of cannabis. Or it wasn't even a big dab the one time. And I full on had an ayahuasca experience from just a little bit of cannabis. So when I think I need it, it comes to me in a different form.
Yeah.
So I can't say I'll never do it again. I know I will definitely do it again when I'm ready, when there's some new big profound, when I'm ready. And I feel like it's probably, I have an idea of when it will come. And when that comes, when that time comes, that'll be, I think for us as a couple, it'll be a point where we are going to level up in a big way. And I'm going to need that to help me get through some shit, because that's how I kind of bottle shit up for many, 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 many years. And then I go and do that, and then I'm good. Mm. So yeah, I think I'll definitely do it again. And I hope that at some point you do it as well.
Like I said, I'm not ruling it out, but we'll see. I really feel like I just based on what you've said and what Josiah has said, I'll know when I'm ready for her. Mm-hmm. So we both went on these journeys, and I came home from, you know, my yoga teacher training that summer, and because you had gone to Florida the month prior to the boys and I leaving to Minnesota for this training for the summer. And we came home, we kind of regrouped, and it's just been like, I just feel like we've been riding this wave together, obviously having our own experience, but riding the same wave together. And it feels as though we're very aligned. Would you say that that's true?
I would. And another question that I would then ask to you is, do you feel like we've both gone on, so much of our journeys have been about opening our hearts and dealing with, you know, the bullshit that our anchors. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that, you know, even though our journeys were so different, they were so much the same on what we were doing? We were just healing, and we wanted to get answers about our past and answers about our feelings and answers about, I mean, the shit that you do blows my mind with, like, ancestral healing and all these things that you do. I just go, that is
friggin' ayahuasca. That's insane. Like, what you're doing, the way you work through your issues is so much of what you get through Aya. I just did it in a weekend, and you're, again, you know, I mean, you're on a 7-year, 8-year, 10-year, 20-year journey. I mean, you could get there a little faster if you wanted to. But do you feel like, so my question, I guess, is do you feel like it's because we are on this journey of heart healing that has helped us be on this journey together, and each time we do bigger healing, it always does kind of seem like for us that we're heart healers. Like we're always working on our what's holding our hearts down, our anchoring our hearts down. So do you feel like that's maybe why it's working so well for us?
Wow, I'm surprised we've actually never talked about it like this before, brought it down to this, like we haven't boiled it down to this nitty gritty of a concept, I guess, but for sure we have been healing our hearts, and not just from this lifetime. Like this is nothing because of just the people in this lifetime. I think you and I are both, and that's part of the reason why we vibe so well, is because we are healing the trauma of so much of our ancestor, like our ancestry's trauma. And you know, Francesca, who was on the show a few weeks ago, talks about, not necessarily in that podcast, but she has talked about in many of my sessions and in her course that I took, the class, Power of the Tribe, that when we are the people that do the healing work for our families and for our ancestors, it is heavy, big work. It takes a lot, and it's hard. It's not easy because, you know, you're going against your family grain, I guess is what a good way to say it. And yeah, so, you know, you and I are kind of like, I want to use the image of a vulture. A vulture is a purifier. They go around and they eat bacteria off of, you know, things that have passed. And they keep our environment clean and sanitized. Otherwise, if we didn't have the vultures, we would all get sick. So I feel like that's something that you and I are doing, is we're kind of like purifying things a little bit.
Are we circling the dead?
No, I feel you. I get that. That's cool. It's really cool. It's a great way to put it. I mean, I feel like I'm a little more majestic than that, but I mean, I do have much nicer hair than a vulture, but I mean, whatever. That's cool. I'm down with whatever spirit animal you want to throw at me right now. Vulture is not what I've chosen. I mean, I feel like maybe even like a bat would have been a lot cooler.
Sorry, the spirit animal didn't reach your expectations. But nonetheless, like, yes, we're doing that, but then two, we are both open to and accepting of each other's way through to healing, you know, and for heart healing, that's a big one. And so for someone, you know, for you to go in little spurts, but do so much work, I think if you were to really look at it, we're probably at about the same time, like same length of time. You know, I might be doing little things every single day, and you go and do a big thing every 2-3 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely both healing in that way. And yeah, I think it's really beautiful. It really is.
It's a lot of work. It's not easy. I think you had mentioned that. It's not, it's, you have to be willing to put the time in, put the effort in, and look deep in yourself. And it's hard, man. The ego is, I mean, people throw, oh, I don't have an ego. I don't leave my ego. I don't, ego nothing. But man, it's a hard one. And that, I think so much of what we deal with comes from that place of ego, because ego is shaped by all of your past and all of your
future and all of your history, your personal history, all your bullshit, all your good, all your bad, that your ego is shaped by that. And learning to recognize your ego and then learning to recognize your hurt and your pain, it's hard. And it's a never-ending, constant battle, just like a marriage. It's a never-ending, it's not a battle. Sometimes it is. Sometimes, not so much lately. I mean, in the last probably 10 years, we've the battles are far and few between, but that's from working hard. Mm-hmm. And I was just reading a book, and one of the lessons that I read it was about ego, and this smallest little part of the book that is kind of stuck with me was, it's not falling in love is easy. Staying in love is so hard. And like anything else, picking a book is easy. Finishing that book is hard. Driving a car is easy. Driving a race car is hard. And that's, you know, like that's anything in life. It's starting is easy. Working on it, continuing to work on it, and with two people, two personalities, two egos, two drives, two everything, it's hard. So, you know, for me to do ayahuasca was, when I did it, was perfect timing. Mm-hmm. Couldn't have come at a better place for us and our marriage and our spiritual journeys.
Totally agree. And I chatted last week with the holistic psychologist, Dr. Nicole LaPera, about the ego. And we had a really beautiful conversation about the ego. And I think that's a great way to kind of wrap up today, because it's going to lead into what I have planned for the final podcast of 2020 for the Live Your Raw Life. So we'll talk more about that next week. So I think that's a great way to end. Thank you for bringing that up, because ego work is important and it is hard. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Oh, Isaac, I just love you. I love you. I got to say it on the podcast.
I love you too.
It was like some Pulp Fiction shit right there. I do. I just love you. And I thank you again for being on. And I just love how you're just so willing to be open and share and be, you know, just very raw. And I thank you for that.
You're welcome.
That is all. Thank you for coming on. And
I love you too.
Oh, thanks. Oh. Now we're going to go throw up a little bit. But in all seriousness, I appreciate your time and thanks for coming on. And thank you to all of you tuning in and listening. Heal yourself, heal the world. It's always an adventure. Adventure awaits. If something in this episode resonated with you, please subscribe to the Live Your Raw Life podcast so you can be alerted when new episodes drop. And please leave a review while you are there. I will be back with you next week, Thursday, sending light, love, and positive energy your way. We will see you next week.